invite your attention to John 21. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 22. There's a lot of subjects in this chapter. I was just looking it over. I'm not sure what our brother's going to speak on, but come and dine. And that's for all of us to come and dine today. Come and dine at God's word. Not come and dine just to eat food, but spiritual food. And also, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Follow me. It's just a lot of things. I'm not sure what he's going to preach on, but I want to read this chapter and pay a close attention as we read here from John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of the great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It's not listed on my reading schedule, but I'd like to just read the 25th verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let us kneel for prayer.
Good morning. It might be helpful, if you will, to keep your Bibles open to the 21st chapter of John as we go through the message this morning. First of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. Thank Brother Robert for his prayer on our behalf in the opening. One of the things that Brother Robert mentioned was that we would be faithful in his prayer. That would be my prayer this morning, to be faithful to the Word. Our message title is A Call to Commitment. I'll share this with you right out of the gate this morning. This message is for me first. I share with you what the Lord laid on my heart, praying that it will help us draw closer and become more committed to our Lord. We want to look at four aspects of commitment in the message this morning. First of all, that of reflecting on our commitment. Second, recognize who we are committed to. And then we want to reassess our commitment. And fourthly, we want to renew our commitment. Message is primarily for those who have made commitments to the Lord this morning. Not to take away from someone who is feeling the call to commit. Each person here today that's present, who's part of the body of believers here and has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord of their life, has answered three very important pointed questions at the time of our baptism. These questions are known as our baptismal covenant. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he brought from heaven a saving gospel? We answered yes. By saying yes, we're saying that we do believe that Christ is the Son of God. And we believe through faith that he will save us and that we will live with him in eternity. Do you willingly renounce Satan with all his pernicious ways and all the sinful pleasures of the world? And again, we said yes. By saying that, we acknowledge that Satan is evil. And we understand that he wants to damn our souls. And that we don't want any part of him or his evil realm of influence in our lives. The third question we answered was, do you covenant with God in Christ Jesus to be faithful unto death? We said yes. By answering yes, we made a commitment to be faithful to Jesus Christ, no matter what lay ahead for each one of us, standing firm in that commitment, even unto death if it need be. Then each year on the annual visit, we reaffirm that commitment by answering the three questions we have asked us during the deacon's visit in our homes. Then we participate in the love feast and the communion services at least twice a year. Again, it's a time of renewal, re-cleansing, and recommitment. Recommitting ourselves to the Lord and to each other as we participate in the ordinances of Scripture in that service. We want to take a look at our commitment to Jesus Christ this morning. Just how committed are we, really? What does it mean to be committed? The definition that I got was the act of binding yourself, either intellectually or emotionally, to a course of action, pledging yourself, engaging yourself. It is a promise to be loyal. Commitment transformed promise into reality. But do we always feel like we did when we come up out of the baptismal waters? Do we get sidetracked? Do we wonder at times in our hearts, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life? I just don't know. Things become a little cloudy sometimes in our minds. I hope we can gain some insight and some answers as we look into this 21st chapter of John and renew our commitment this morning to our Lord. Before we do, I appreciate that Robert read verse 25 and probably should have had him read verse 31 of chapter 20. I love John's purpose for writing. He says, but these are written. We'll start with verse 30 and read verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's John's purpose for writing and recording what he has written for us here this morning. As we go into chapter 21, we'd like to take a look at Peter. He was known as the most outspoken of the disciples. As we start into chapter 21, it starts out with these words, after these things. You know, there's so much that had happened in the lives of the disciples in such a short time. All that had happened to the Lord, the trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection. It's after these things. In verse 2, it says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. If I have it right, that's seven disciples that were together at this time. I think for Peter, things may have been a little cloudy at this time. Might have been a little unclear, a little fuzzy in his mind. Not sure, as our expression is, how to put it all together. Not sure what to think of all that had happened. But he knew what he used to do. And he told the others in verse 3, I'm going fishing. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. I don't think Peter was one to stand around. And putting it in my own words, he said, you don't record it this way, but I can just say, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I'm going fishing. And the rest of the disciples said, well, we're going along. So they got in a ship and they went to go fishing. I'm not sure that they were really intent on catching fish that night. Either didn't try very hard or it just wasn't working. Because verse 3 says, that night they caught nothing. I had to wonder if they even really cared. Whether they caught any fish or not that night. But they apparently made a feeble attempt by letting down the net. I don't know about you, but I would have kind of loved to be in that boat. Just to hear. The conversations that took place that night. I think it was more than a fishing trip. I think it was a time of reflection. Through the night, it may have been hours that there were no verbal conversations at all, but they still reflected on all that had happened to them and to the Lord. I don't mean to pick on Peter this morning, but I think as we go through the message, you'll see why I kind of am. But just think Peter in his mind. We'd go back to the times when Jesus told him, Matthew 26:31. He said, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. You remember Peter's answer, verse 33 there of chapter 26 of Matthew. No, that's not going to happen. Kind of boastfully answers. Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus turned and looked at Peter at that time and said, Peter, and I'm putting this into my own words, you're not only going to be offended, but you're going to deny me 3 times tonight. When the disciples heard that, and again, Peter was standing strong. Peter said in verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And that verse says, likewise also said all the disciples. Peter made some pretty bold statements, some pretty bold commitments there. In these verses, it didn't carry too far, did it? You know the story. Peter did fall that night. And I ask us this morning, how many times have we done the very same thing? I'd never do that. We find ourselves in a bad situation and we fall short of that statement. I'll go as far as dying, but I wouldn't do that. And it happens. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. That phrase, after these things, there in verse 1 of chapter 21, includes Peter running with John to the tomb. He saw the face cloth that was about Jesus' head. He saw the burial cloth wrapped and folded neatly in a place all by itself. He was certainly with the disciples when the resurrected Christ came through locked doors the first day of the week and said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." But I believe now at this time Peter was confused, and he set out to go fishing, to reflect on all that had happened, all that had taken place in just a few days prior. You see, I think he gave it his all, but his all wasn't good enough. He needed some time to reflect, time to pull things together, try to put it all together, so to speak. I believe he failed, and he felt like he failed. He might have been thinking things like, "Lord called us to go out and minister, and I thought I was doing that." But now see what I am. And I'm just not sure anymore. So he just goes to get away from it all and goes fishing. Reflection, I believe, is the beginning of renewal. We all need time to reflect, rest, and renew. You ever have thoughts like, "Lord, am I still your child? Was I ever really your child?" I don't think it's foreign to any one of us. Brother Donald spoke about it a little bit in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Spurgeon spoke of what he called the howling psalms, psalms that start with "How long?" Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2, David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" And in Psalm 89:46, he writes, "How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire?" There's a number more of those, and we'll stop with them. They're the sighs and the cries of the children of God that just want to go fishing. I'll be a little transparent with you this morning. I kind of figured it'd be a little hard. And I wept in my study this week as the Lord put this together. And I had to wonder. Am I just doing this to get the next assignment done? I was so overwhelmed recently with assignments. Things on my heart. I literally wound up in Apple Hill last Wednesday morning to get a stress test for my heart. Some of you knew about that and were praying for me. I thank you for that. I realize that this calling isn't something that I can handle alone. Each one of our lives, it don't have to be a calling to ministry. How about our Christian experience in life? Do you ever get overwhelmed? Get in the boat with Peter. Go fishing. Let's just reflect on the commitment we made. As we get in the boat of reflection, there's just nothing happening, is it? Scripture says that night they caught nothing. The whole night of reflection. Morning's coming. Verse 4 says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. In my own words, there's a stranger on the shore. Are you catching anything? No. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Again, being in that ship with them, I could just hear them say, well, I don't know who it is. They knew not that it was Jesus yet. Ain't getting nothing done this way. Might as well try that. And they did. They cast on the right side. It's where the fish were. And it changes everything. It says they cast therefore. And they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Just cast on the right side and you shall find. After a whole night of reflection, verse 7 says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and to cast himself into the sea. This is when we start to recognize who that stranger on the shore is. John said it's the Lord. What an encouragement to reflect on where we have been and to fish where we want to go spiritually. That will draw us to the direction of the Lord. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Peter recognized the Lord. He dressed up a bit and he dove in. He left the others to drag the net of fish. I think after reflecting all night, Peter realized he needed to reconcile himself to the Lord. But I don't think he knew quite how to do that yet. So in verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. In verse 11, can't you see Peter? Again, wanting to show the Lord something. I think there was some adrenaline flowing in Peter's heart, in his body. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 133. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Doesn't say anything about the rest of the disciples here. It was Peter that drew the net to land. And note, they weren't small fishes. It says that it was full of great fishes. I think they had some size to them. These were fish like they had never caught before. because they listen to the voice of the Master on the shore. Jesus prepared the meal and then gives the call to come and dine. Verse 12, he saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. It's a time to recognize who we are committed to. They recognized the Lord. They didn't ask him who he was, they knew. They had this meal together with him. And I think if we listen, as we reflect, we will hear his voice. And it's important to recognize his voice. If we've made a former commitment, let's recognize who we are committed to this morning when he speaks. If we've never made a commitment or being called, we need to recognize the Lord that's calling. And listen to what he says. One such man that needed time to reflect was a giant of a man at 6'8" tall. He was a bishop of the Trinity Church here in Pennsylvania. Never married except to his calling to God. But yet burdened with the responsibilities of Sunday after Sunday bearing down on him. I think it must have gotten to the point where he said, I'm going fishing. He went to Bethlehem. In 1865, as he worshiped on Christmas Eve, where Jesus was to have been born, he recognized the voice that led him to a hymn that we sing each Christmas. As he reassessed his commitment to the Lord, Philip Brooks renewed that commitment as he penned the words to the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Listen to that renewed commitment in the final verse of that song. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. As we get back to verse 15 of chapter 21 here, the resurrected Lord, I believe, waited for just the right moment. They had breakfast on the shore, and then Jesus spoke to Peter. I believe Peter knew that this was coming. And Jesus knew that it had to be done. If we notice there in verse 15, Jesus did not call him Peter, but he called him by his given name. He went back to the beginning. You see, he had to strip everything away and get straight to the heart of Peter's problem. Simon, do you love me? And then added, more than these. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You see, Peter's relationship up to this point was all about what Peter could and would do for Jesus. You know, the others will deny you, but I won't. The others might be offended of you, but I won't, type attitude. It's a place where the best of intentions meet the worst of consequences because we go about it all wrong. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Each time, Peter gets a little more frustrated, and after the third time in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. We read that Peter was grieved, and I think he put emphasis on his answer. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. The thing that amazes me is that Jesus could have taken him back to the times that he denied him 3 times. He could have taken him back to the bold statements that he made earlier. But he left that all behind, didn't he? Simply ask, do you love me? I'm not sure, but I think after the 3rd time, it might have been starting to click for Peter. He reflected all night about that, all that had just taken place with his Lord. I think he was getting to the point. Christ was getting home. In Peter's heart. Do you love me? And I think Peter's love for Christ was becoming confirmed. The Apostle John wrote it this way in 1 John 4:10, and then again in verse 19, he says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. I believe as Peter was reassessing those statements, those commitments that he had boldly made earlier to Jesus, as Jesus questioned him, beginning to think through what he had done, what he had said, what it had meant, actually how it had hurt. And in these questions, I believe Jesus, the resurrected Christ, was saying, Peter, I showed you how to love. I went to the cross to show you how to love. Do you love me like that? And if you do, feed my sheep. I think he's asking each one of us here the same question. Do you and I see how much he loved us? Can and will we love him like that? Each one of us can reassess our commitment as he asks us, lovest thou me more than these? You think Peter had to think of the look that Christ gave him at the trial when he denied him? The love and the hurt that was in his eyes. How do we love him this morning? You know, Jesus goes through the list back in Matthew 25. He said, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. Then he comes to Matthew 25:40, and he says, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Do we love him enough to sacrifice for others? That's all he did. His whole life, his time on earth was a sacrifice for each one of us. John writes it this way in chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Chapter 13, 35, it's by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's what's going to show the world that we're a disciple of Christ, if we have love one to another. Chapter 15, verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. That great apostle John wrote in 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." How are we doing when he asks us the question? Lovest thou me? Do we need to reassess our commitment to the Lord? You know, we serve the Lord because he loves us. He chose Abraham. He chose Peter. And he chooses us today. John 15:16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." It's not because of something that we can show him like Peter tried to do. He chooses us out of his love for us. And as we reassess our commitment to him, our love for him in return must be the starting point of that commitment. It must be. Peter needed to know that. We do too this morning. After Peter's initial question, answers to the initial questions three times, Jesus told Peter to feed my lambs and feed my sheep and feed my sheep. Peter wasn't called to feed his sheep, was he? Jesus said, feed my sheep. They're the Lord's sheep. And they need to be fed out of the overflow of love that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Just after these moments of reassessment for Peter and Jesus' questions, Jesus shared some prophetical words with Peter and summoned Peter to, as Jesus states in verse 19, at the end of the verse, he said, "Follow me." Peter turned and says, we read in verses 20 and 21, which Brother Robert read. Now reread, "Then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" I think we see the old Peter stepping out once again. In my own words, he said, "What about this guy?" Do we look around and wonder, what about that guy? What about her? What about him? Jesus pretty much answered Peter this way: "Don't worry about him. Follow thou me." He saith in verse 22, "If I will, thee tarry till I come." What is that to thee? Follow thou me. I think that's where renewal begins this morning. We purpose in our hearts again to follow him. As people who have made a commitment, we realize that we fall short. We need to recommit, renew. Let's purpose to follow him. And I think renewal brings us face to face with Jesus Christ again. I'm amazed at the tremendous understanding that the Apostle John had. Just love to read John's writings, the epistles, and Revelation. Here's what happened to John. When he came face to face with Christ. Revelation 1:17 and 18. and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. He said in verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Who else would we want to commit our lives to this morning? There is no other. So I ask this morning to get out of the boat with me, and let's renew our commitment to our Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and they were created. He is worthy this morning. We can totally commit to Him who is faithful and true. In a theology class at BBI, Brother Craig Mayer said numerous times that our theology should become our doxology. And that's when we learn what we learn about God, and Jesus Christ spills over into praise for Him and for what He has done. Pastor Greg Laurie was interviewing James Dobson recently, and he told Jim Dobson that he once had the opportunity to interview Billy Graham. Then he asked Billy, if you were an older Billy Graham and you could advise a younger Billy Graham, what would you tell him? Billy said, keep focused on the cross and on the Christ of the cross, because that's where the power is. I thought that was a good answer. Then he asked Dobson, if you were an older James Dobson and you could advise a younger James Dobson, what would you say? Dobson quickly. Answered with only two words. Finish strong. He said, finish strong. I tell you this morning, that takes commitment.
We have received a very important and timely challenge from God's Word this morning through our brother, and I'm thankful for it. And wouldn't it be amazing, as Peter was renewed in his commitment, and how the kingdom of God prospered and was increased because of that one man's renewal in his commitment. If you and I would all take this message to heart and be renewed in our commitment, what God would do. Let's stand for prayer.